With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi. Yep, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Everybody is in the building. John Martin, executive producer Brad Carson, yours truly, on this Friday. And there was a lot to be happy about last night. Memphis Tigers get a win. I like talking about Tigers wins. Quite a win. That's right, 83-78 over Wichita State. And Jonathan Lawson, big shot there. Toward the end of it, 1:16 left, he puts them up 5. They don't get closer, Wichita State, than 3 the rest of the way. Tigers get a very important win. And then you had what happened with the Grizzlies, who had 1 point last night, John, when they were up double digits early, 17. I said, good Lord, John Martin Hart, this man been calling them. He had Grizz plus 4. They are rolling. They have come out of the All-Star break like a hot flame.
Bat out of hell. Meatloaf.
Especially Bane.
Yeah. Man, what?
He was on fire in the first quarter.
35 in the first quarter?
Felt like it 50 of them, I think.
Yeah.
Hit everything. And then it all just sort of melted away
as
Philly walked you down. And that all too familiar collapse in the fourth quarter. 8th straight road loss for Memphis. It goes back to when Shannon Sharp showed his tail at the Lakers. Okay? It's the curse of Shannon Sharp. It's where we're at. Would have been nice to have Steven Adams. Would have been nice to have Luke Kennard, sure. But that is a game that after leading by 17, you needed to win. So it felt like, yeah, you lost a lot. And not just a game last night. I realize it's 1 of 82, John.
Yeah.
But there's an opportunity there to beat a contender. And you came up short.
Yeah, it's like the Thwaites Glacier there. The Doomsday Glacier just melting.
What?
Do your research. You need to know what's going on in the world.
I'm tired of how much science reading you're doing.
Yeah.
And then you bring it to the show. I'm not still reading.
Doomsday Glacier is melting at a pace much faster than scientists anticipated, which could have devastating implications for the climate and the sea level and things like that.
Dr. Martin.
That's how it felt watching the Grizzlies, though, right? They had that 17-point lead. They're up 12 at the half. But you just felt like, something's not right. At least I did. Because you will tell the people. I did not text you about it. I did not at any point say, look at the Grizz. Good show by the Grizz.
No, you didn't.
And the reason why.
Usually you like to chime in like that.
And the reason
when you
why.
Feel good.
Is because it never felt like it was going to last to me. I can't explain why. I can't tell you why I felt not very confident about it. But a 12-point lead, when you have a 4-point underdog, right, and you're up 12 at the half, there's really no difference, honestly, in being up 12 or down 12 because you still have to do it again for another half, right? Mm. And I almost would rather play from behind than try to preserve on the road.
All right.
And, you know, that didn't happen. So, Grizz in trouble? Grizz slipping away here? I mean, we sort of said, you know, and I don't
I'd stop short of trouble.
It was a tough ask,
especially
right?
If Steven Adams is relatively close.
But is he?
That's a good question.
Is he?
Thought he's a little bit further along.
Should Steven Adams be this important? Right?
That's another good question.
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like, you know, people ridiculed us when we said it was going to be hard for the Grizzlies to remain as the 2 seed. You know, we were ridiculed by everybody.
Metrically, what was it, 75% chance, everything else? I don't know about
That still leaves a 25% chance, though. I mean, that which is a lot. That's 1 out of 4 times. You know, that happens.
To do that, you're going to have to go on a pretty significant, kind of like that rough patch, 8 of 9, whatever it was. Mm. And do you really think it's going to get that bad when you've hopefully got Steven Adams coming
Their schedule is pretty brutal.
Yeah,
man.
The next 10 games, and the schedule's
pretty brutal. So, I mean, it's not like they're playing the Pacers 4 times and the Magic twice.
My role on this show is usually to calm you down, and I find that that's kind of where I am today.
I mean, look, I'm not. It's not doomsday, but like
Luke Kennard's playing last night. Good chance you win that game. It wasn't like they didn't, like you didn't get a good effort. But again, the things that have cost you fourth quarter, this team's continued to blow games.
Yes.
You're getting nothing right now from Tyus.
Yes.
Zero.
Yeah, I think the NBA is going to send the Shane Battier effort trophy. That is on the way to the Grizzlies for that one last night. They can hang that one up inside the hallows of FedEx Forum.
And then Brandon, Brandon Clark, 15 minutes. Xavier Tillman off the bench. I mean, you got to tip your cap there. He was trying against Embiid. He's being up, But so, and again, I think Jaren there late. Jaren, the block on Embiid, I like where Jaren's at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he looked like an all-star at times, especially defensively last night. So there was a lot to pull from it, but in the end, that's one you've got to close out. And far too many times, this has happened of late.
Yeah. I mean, Job, I guess it's sort of the way that Philly defends, the way they have Joel there in the middle and just the way they structure their defense. But he really struggled last night.
3-16.
Yeah. And, that – I don't know. This is a team – that maybe you don't see in the playoffs because they're in the East, but these are how teams are going to defend. They're going to watch games like this, and they're going to game plan exactly like that.
Well, I just think not having Steven on, especially on the offensive end, that lane is more clogged. He helps clear that for Ja. And last night, look, the floater's just not dropping. On most nights, it's going to. Ja up until last night had been fantastic. Just about all the way around. Like, you can't just pin this on him and say, Ja's got to be great every night. This team, with where it is, number two in the West, should have enough. I was making the point to Jeff, and, with Boston, you could just because you saw it. On a night, they didn't have Jaylen Brown in that game on the road, but Pritchard, who's the other kid? Hauser mm-hmm. was hitting. There's just not enough right now for the Grizzlies, and especially on a night where Ja's going to be off like that. So, again, I don't want to say encouraged by loss. No, you come away disappointed because you had it in your hands. That said, mm-hmm. if Steven Adams is close enough, I don't think you need to be on any ledges, John.
I'm a little bit to the left of the middle then for you. Like, I'm a little bit more discouraged than you are, I guess I would say. Not to say that the season is over by any stretch of the imagination, but my confidence in, things I thought I maybe knew about the Grizzlies, that they were awesome against the East, that they get up for these national television games, they can win games like this, they can get up. I'm less confident in that now. I don't believe that really anymore. Now, maybe that's a function of Steven Adams not being in the game, and that would change when he's out there. I feel like the fact that we are injecting so much meaning into a guy who, is he even really a part of the future here? Is we never talk about Steven Adams as part of this core.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that a guy outside of that is so important to the Grizzlies is a bit disturbing to me, that we can't sit here and say, well, if John, Jaren, and Desmond Bane are on the floor, the Grizzlies have a chance to win every single game, because that's clearly not been true. That's clearly not been true this season. So I guess I'm in terms of this particular season, I'm a little bit more discouraged right now. But it's, look, we still have lots of basketball to play, and Steve Adams could come back, and maybe it looks a lot better. So we will just have to see about that. Anthony Sands is going to join us at 11:25. He'll be in studio. Talk to him about where the Grizzlies are in this stretch and more around the NBA. Lakers get a win last night over Golden State. I mean, look, obviously we know Steph did not play, but this is sort of why we said the Lakers are a team that you're going to probably be hearing about, because they got the win last night, and LeBron didn't even play that well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the function of getting that trade done.
I think they're going to get in the play-in. They're a game and a half out.
If they get in the play-in, they're winning the play-in. So if they if they're getting in the play-in, they're making the playoffs. They will have a first-round series against somebody. I feel pretty confident about it.
They're a better team post-trade deadline.
They absolutely are.
And you see it in the fact that LeBron and Anthony Davis aren't even huge big for them offensively, and they still win the game.
I mean, look at last night, just as an example. Malik Beasley has 25 acquired. Rui had 14 last night, acquired. Mo Bamba had a double-double last night, acquired. These are all guys, and Vanderbilt had 9 rebounds, 9 boards last night. So, these are all moves that the Lakers made to and it's all short-term. But, again, that's why we said that, a week ago, a week and a half ago, not the worst thing in the world to throw a dart at them. Because if LeBron is locked in, and he cares. It's been a while since we've seen him in a playoff series that mattered. The bubble is how far back you really got to go. I don't count the Suns one because Anthony Davis got hurt and that kind of was marred by that against the Suns. That's not a team I'd want to see. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they'd win for sure. It's just not a team I'd want to see. So we'll talk to Anthony Sain about that. Then at 1 o'clock, Matt McCall, former UMass coach, former UT Chattanooga coach, and now Field of 68 analyst, is going to join us. Lots to get to with him, right? You have the Ole Miss opening there.
There's an opening.
And what I also know about Matt McCall is that he is an unapologetic fan of Penny Hardaway, who has said publicly that he thinks he doesn't get enough credit. You know, and I thought yesterday it was funny. There is a person who was pretty prominent in the sort of sports gambling space, Kelly in Vegas. She was actually hired by ESPN 2-3 years ago, and then as she was being onboarded, somebody like uncovered some offensive tweets, and so ESPN later said, never mind, we're not going to bring you on anymore because you have, like, whatever they – I can't remember if they were racist or homophobic or whatever. Anyway, Barstool picked her up, and she made this video yesterday, and she's putting together, like, this parlay, and she says, I don't bet on bad coaches, and she flashes a picture of Penny Hardaway, right?
Well, you did send me that.
And I just thought, first of all, when did Penny get this rep as a bad coach, A? And then by saying you're not betting on Penny Hardaway, you're going to bet on Isaac Brown, who is about to be fired at Wichita State? What is he? Mm-hmm. If Penny's a bad coach, what is Isaac Brown? It just doesn't make sense. So Matt McCall is a guy who's been defending Penny and has had his back publicly, so I thought it'd be a good time to get him on air and just discuss that as the Tigers, which I think leads us into a perfect segue here, are coming off of a very gutty win on the road last night against Wichita State. No Keontae Kennedy, who hit a wall, apparently, in frustration after the Houston loss. But Memphis goes in there and it's tied at the half, and they find a way to get the job done. Johnny Lawson, it's a big three there to kind of seal it, and the rest is just really playing the foul game. But I guess what was interesting is before the game, Lunardi comes on there and says, 2 and you're in. You know, if you go 2-2 here in your next 4, it's pretty safe to assume you're in. Well, halfway there if you're the University of Memphis. So I thought it was a super important win, and it was a good one. It was a good win for the Tigers last night.
Even though it should probably also be stated that Lunardi dropped Memphis from a 9 to a 10 seed after a quad 2 road win. And I don't know if that's just a little bit of correction for him to try to get back to where sort of the 10.7 and where the pack is, and maybe it was that. Because clearly he's encouraged by what he's seen from the Tigers. I think to start, they pass his eye test. That's what we've talked about. This looks like a tournament team, and you're seeing essentially a different guy step up to help out the number one and number two guys in the pecking order, Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams. And I'll be honest with you, John, DeMario Franklin's one of them. Jonathan Lawson's one of them. Like, and again, for the fourth time in fifth game, said this with Jeff, want to make sure I'm right on that stat. Yeah, fourth time in fifth games, they shot over 50%. So they're doing it officially, and they do it on the road. How many times have we seen a Memphis offense get junked up, much like Tennessee this season?
Yep.
Right, game like that where it gets tight, right there, it's a 2-point game when Jonathan Lawson hits that three. How many times have we seen a Tigers offense fold up? Frankly, like I said to Jeff, this has been a flipping. Your offense is 35th in the country. You know, they've been more efficient than we've seen any Penny Hardaway team offensively. And again, you're having to do it with guys in and out. It's a heck of a coaching job offensively. And it's not just, Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams, go take us, because they've, whether it's Elijah, whoever, they've had to have other guys step up. And again, it's going to be even more critical now because you lose an important guy in Keontae Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they can, I know they're holding out hope they can get him back in the postseason.
Well, yeah, but you just shouldn't be hitting walls, right? I mean, that just seems like a really stupid thing to do. You buy that, by the way? I mean, they did specify in the release he hit a wall, which was odd to me, but
my thing is, and I know where your mind is because we know the whole Will Coleman
story. It's not the first time we've been gaslit.
But are you fighting after the way you played at Houston? The way I know he didn't play necessarily down the stretch, but are you getting into it, anybody, after a gutsy effort like that?
I think
you're proud of the effort. Like, the mood's pretty good.
But I mean, like,
just the fact that they put it in a press release.
But let me play devil's advocate. And again, I'm not saying that this is what's going on.
Because there aren't. This would be one thing to dive into if we thought there were chemistry issues with a team. If a team
totally
this
right.
team's got chemistry.
But let's
you know what I'm saying. But I'll listen
just
to
listen.
Your case.
Yeah, let me sure, make it. Whatever, let me make it. Man.
Go ahead.
Like the Murdaugh scandal
I said I would
on Netflix.
Listen.
Let me just make it here.
Now I'm gonna
hit
my hammer if it's a mess.
No problem.
My gavel.
Take out what we think we know about chemistry. Just take that out. Just assume you know nothing about team chemistry.
This is probably the most together team. Go ahead.
I know, sir, I need you to remove all your biases here.
There are no. This is my eyeballs.
Go ahead, Case.
I'm going to shut up.
We're going to take out Memphis. We're going to take out biases. If you had a player that got into it with another player, would you not, so as to throw people off the scent, put in the release that he hit a wall? Would you? Because don't you think that effectively say, oh, he hit a wall. No need to dig in. They told us in the release that he hit a wall.
Sure, conspiracy theorists.
I'm just saying, I'm not accusing that of happening here, but I feel like if I ran a university, I'd say, hey, let's just say he hit a wall.
I could understand if his frustration down the stretch was not playing much.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Alo, Penny said he played Alo too much in that game.
Yep.
And so, now Keontae offensively wasn't very good in that game either.
Yeah.
But maybe I could see him out of frustration of not playing down the stretch.
So what you're saying is that what
I'm a, you know,
who do you think
I'm
he
a roll
fought?
With it. This
who,
is I don't
who
think
do you
this
think
is
he
a,
fought? Who do you think it was?
Man, I had folks texting me that who did he fight?
Right.
Just automatically assume.
Well, we've been here before, bro. I mean, the University of Memphis said he hit that Wilcombe ran into a door back in the day. All right. This is not far. This is very related. This is a cousin of that, statement.
It's probably not worth the time.
Okay. Hey, no problem.
Do you think, but just because of where they're at, John, if this was last year, first few games,
yeah,
and we're looking at this team's chemistry and saying, then you do that.
Didn't somebody break something at FedEx Forum last year? Didn't, like, Jalen Duren hit, like, the glass and break the glass or something?
Was it Duren?
I think so.
Somebody did. I remember they had the picture of it and then they had the tape on and they had to replace it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I mean, I'm like,
you believed that one, didn't you? Well, I guess you saw the evidence of the cracked
glass. The only thing with me is like,
guys do this all the time.
What was so frustrating about the Houston loss? I mean, they played valiantly.
Him individually.
Yeah. Okay.
You could say.
All right.
Again, that's speculating.
Yeah.
But it'd be easily understandable.
Okay. Hey, that's fine. That's fine, man.
Because Alo sort of did get his minutes.
Your responsibility is to make sure that CJ's not doing this after Saturday. You know, hopefully he gets the job done on Saturday against Briarcrest, but
I'm so nervous I can't even talk about it.
Yeah, so we'll save that for Monday when you give the New Hope a respect burger.
I can't give a respect burger. Number one seed goes down this weekend.
Ooh, that might be a disrespect dog. That might be a disrespect dog if we can't get the job done against old friend Martavius Newbie.
No, it's just a newbie-coached Briarcrest team. I don't know that coach's first name. I can guarantee you it ain't Martavius. I do love Martavius.
Oh, that's not Martavius Newbie's team?
No, it's not Newbie's team. Not that Martavius Newbie.
Well, shout out to Martavius Newbie.
This man is running down the third grade cross-check bracket.
I thought it was Martavius Newbie.
I appreciate you giving New Hope that love.
Former
brother.
Ole Miss Rebel.
Yeah.
Booker T. Washington product.
I'll put a bow on this. We're the one seed. Briarcrest, the four seed, is advanced through. We had a bye. They had us down 7-0.
And that's in the regular season. What's the equivalent of that in an NBA game?
This is a revenge game for them.
Is that like a 22-0 lead like an NBA game?
Like probably what? Like 17, like what the Grizz had yesterday.
Oh, well, that's easily as we see.
And you know what happened.
Exactly.
And Chris was talking about good games, so them folks I know have had this circled. So
oh, yeah.
Probably be coming here Monday.
See, that's the thing. This is what CJ did. He posted a highlight of him draining a three on them folks and put good game on the caption. Yeah, it was a good game for you, bro.
But he really meant it.
Yeah, it was a good game, all right, for you.
Mm-hmm. He said, as they did not have enough for us.
That's right.
Yeah, folks thinking I'm on man Chris on
that's
there.
That's right.
Yeah, Chris on there. Those are his own posts. We probably need to do better as parents.
Yeah, there's no question about it. There is no doubt about it.
Anyway,
that's
too much time on the third grade bracket. Well, back to the Tigers, who are clearly humming right now, at least offensively.
Is Sunday now a win and in?
SMU's quad three. I mean, you don't want to play.
Well, he said 2-2.
And so, then dropped them.
Well, maybe that, like you said, it's just a course correction.
But he also dropped them down in terms of last four byes. Like, remember when you were the first one? Now you're the third
it's
one.
It's odd that he would say that and then drop them so drastic.
Like I said, some of it's...
a road win, a quad two win.
You shouldn't be dropped at all, but again, it goes to show you. Man, they went up three spots at the net for the win. Road win. But in the end, it gets you nothing. And that is the, you know, that's the story of being in the AAC and playing anybody other than Houston. So anyway, back to your point, yeah, sure, beat Cincinnati. It's an important win in the sense that you can't – now it's quad three.
Yeah.
You can't lose it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it cements anything, John. I'm not going – you know, Lenardi's got them as a 10. You think that they could be right back in the position they were in.
They'd be a play-in if they lose to SMU.
I still – it's what – we don't need Lenardi to say it's what we said yesterday. They could possibly lose one other one, and it would be hairy.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be a chance that you're in.
Well, look, I
know he sounded confident last night.
It makes me feel better about the price I pay for the tickets, knowing that this is a punch your ticket and in kind of game. You know what I'm saying?
That's what you were trying to frame it as, but I still think it's you need to take care of business against SMU.
Yeah. Is that game here or there?
There.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's a little tricky.
Not really.
I mean, Kendrick Davis is
right,
not
Kendrick
losing.
Kendrick back going back there?
Kendrick Davis is not losing to SMU. Yeah. It ain't happening. It is not happening. By the way, I love that dude.
Yeah, I liked the post game interview. Calkins was reading me the comments and everything else. I saw a little bit of it, but not the part he said.
He's only going to be here for a year.
He thanked everybody and the trainer and everything else. He talked about what a team they are.
Yeah, like this is a quote that stuck out to me, and I can't remember a guy that played for Memphis being this. I mean, maybe Will Barton. I wish I could give you all the details, but A-Lo can barely walk some days. Malco barely can walk some days. I barely can move some days. It's just about playing through it. If you can play through it, we're going to play through it. That's the love we got for Coach. Some dudes shut it down. They ain't fully invested in the program. Some dudes say, I'm going to wait until I get 100%. But truth be told, you're never 100%. I call these dudes my brothers. If I can go out there and contribute, I'm going to be there. Like, this dude is awesome, man. He's a great player, and he's a great ambassador for the program. He's only been here for a year. And he's only going to be here for a year.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad thing.
It is, because, well, you can't go back in time. You can't change it.
Now you're hoping a guy can be as good, half as good a leader. And Mikey Williams, guy who's right, never done it at this level.
Yeah.
You're seeing the best, is my point, at this level.
Kendrick Davis has risen up my ranks, man, in terms of great Tigers. Only here for a year, but.
Oh, in terms of great Tigers. I was going to say, he's great, one of the best point guards in college basketball. Like, we already had him up high.
I'm just saying, at all time,
That's hard to do for one year, guys.
It is. And statistically, he won't be there. But in terms of just guys it was to watch and who had impacts, and also like this.
Statistically for a season, he'll be up there just terms of guys that came here for 1 year.
Is he
the one and done? Like his numbers will be up there.
Can he be player of the year or no?
This year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I think they finished second in the league, get above Tulane. I think he will be.
Well, what's Houston looking like?
Well, it'd be Sasser.
What's he averaging?
I'm not sure. His numbers aren't as good as Kendrick's, I don't believe, but he's the best player. He's the best player on the best team.
But you need him to be averaging like 14 or something. Let's see. Sasser's averaging 17. 17 and 3. Yeah, I mean, he is the best player on the best team, but his numbers.
You're talking about the reigning player of the year. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be better than him to get it, don't you?
I think so.
And again, if you're second, if you end up finishing ahead of
Kendrick Davis is averaging 21 and 6, and he's doing it, 85% from the free throw line.
Yeah, battling through an ankle injury all year long.
He's playing. That's the most important thing is that he's back out there. So,
dude, he's playing on an All-American level.
I think Kendrick Davis is a back-to-back AAC player of the year. That's what I think. If they finish second, it would be a robbery if he's not. He's averaging freaking 21 points a game. That's what is that in the country? 14th in the country. He's 16th in the country in assists. What are we talking about here, man?
That's the question for you.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a nice win for Memphis. Could be winning in possibly on Sunday. We'll see. But Memphis took care of business, which is exactly what you wanted to see from them last night. Anthony Sand's going to join us when we come back. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, his thoughts on the rest of the season, last night against the Sixers, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Basketball season's heating up. The best place to get in on the action is with FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now FanDuel's hooking customers up with $100 in bonus bets when you refer a friend. Just share your exclusive referral link with friends. It's located right in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Once your friend places their first bet of $10 or more, you'll score $100 in bonus bets. You can't beat that. Then you could bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to total. So it's, like we say, a team effort here. All on an app that's safe, secure, super easy, fun to use. So don't miss your chance to get $100, again, in bonus bets when you refer a friend. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of 929 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Referred players must place and settle a $10 wager within 30 days after signing up. Limit 5 referrals per 30 days. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable, expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
Have you noticed, on Memphis games where me and Munn sit with the number of dang reviews there are? Like, half, you know, like...
Well, no, you should start... We talked about it. You should start selling ads.
Yeah. No, we should. On the back of my laptop.
Correct.
You know,
yes.
Like, just put some ads
right.
up. Because every time they go to the dang monitor, there I am. My ugly
yes.
mug. My face made for radio right in your face.
Memphis's home of the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Weekdays from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. Memphis's sports station. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Don't miss your Memphis Hustle tonight at 7 p.m. when they take on the G League Ignite. Arrive early as the first 1,000 fans receive a Grizzlies-inspired Hustle tee. Secure your tickets today at memphishustle.com or call 901-888-HOOP.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It just got so much harder, can't even see it straight. I can't even see
Anthony Sane is the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, founder of Asylum Media Group, co-host of Grind Season. It's an Odyssey podcast you can get on the free Odyssey app. Does it twice per week, got a fresh edition coming out tonight. I'm also contractually obligated to say he is the winningest box hockey champion in Pine Hill Community Center day camp history. It's a long title, but we have to put it on there because he was so cold.
Oh, yeah.
Follow him on Twitter at Sane Asylum. He joins us now. Brother Sane, how you doing on a Friday after a tough Grizzle?
Man, I'm good, man. Kevin Cerrito, who joins Jeff Calkins once a week, he reached out to me about challenging me to the box hockey championship. We grew up in a different type of box hockey, though. He said he played in Germantown community centers.
What'd that look like?
They actually used the actual baby hockey stick and a little ball. We used bottle caps and actual sticks off a tree. So it was a totally different game. We'll probably have to do like kind of a home-and-home type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And probably have to flip for game seven or game five or whatever.
What do you think wins there, Nuts and Guts or the Suburbs?
Say what now?
Which one wins?
Oh, he don't want
Which
to come.
Style
he
wins.
Would lose in my style. So I probably could adapt to what he's doing, but he would lose.
With the stick.
Yeah. Sticks and bottle caps, he'll lose for sure.
Okay.
We might have set that up, though, for real. Make that a thing.
Grizzlies outscored 10-1 to close the game by Philly. How you feeling? Are you encouraged? You disappointed?
I'm not encouraged at all. It's kind of frustrating because you kind of feel like you know how this season's going to end. I think they're still going to finish in two, and they're going to get kind of outclassed in the playoffs, whether it's in the first or the second round. I don't think they're going to make it to the conference finals. I don't really take any of the teams serious who would come out of the play-in. I heard y'all talking about the Lakers earlier. I don't take them serious at all. But it's just they're just not going to look like a team that's – they're not going to look like the number two seed in the West when the season's over. Their half-court offense is abysmal. And I hate to say this because there was a time where a lot of people were saying, like, man, Taylor Jenkins is – he could be the next Greg Popovich. He could be the guy who starts with the team and just goes – and he's coaching with them forever, and all the great players in franchise history go through him. And he's looking a lot more – like a lot of coaches look who start with young teams, who ended up going over the hump to the when you're talking about Mark Jackson or whoever you're talking about. Is a lot of coaches like that. He's starting to look more like that than he's starting to look like a guy who's going to be here forever. Because there are certain things that, like we talk about, like this is year five for Jaren. Jaren shouldn't still be doing this. Or this is year four for Ja. He shouldn't still be doing this. There are certain things as a coach with Taylor Jenkins you wonder, how is he still doing that this far in his career? And then you ask yourself, okay, this organization is so they're so open with their communication. How do we know that his substitution patterns or the way he coaches or the way he whatever his rotations, whatever, that's not a front office thing where he's doing what he's instructed to do to extend the runway of this team or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in the game and you're watching Philadelphia, you've got two Hall of Famers on the court, another great player in Tobias Harris. And you're not putting your best dudes against their best dudes.
Matching minutes. For
yeah, them. it's just weird. It's a weird practice.
Don't you think that's front office and not?
That's what I'm saying. Like, bro,
if you're
like
a coach,
you can't
play
be
your
right.
No, I think this is a great point.
They're so lock and step with what they do. It makes you wonder: is he just doing what they're
direct,
telling him to do,
yeah.
or is he just stuck in that Budenholzer thing that, which he came from? But it's super frustrating, man, when you're not you don't have your best guys out there going against their best guys, and you just see. You know, weird, I think it was like a 5-0 run or something that happened. Like a weird, like, and one missed the free throw. They get the ball back. Somebody knocks down a three or whatever. And then when Harden hit that three down four in the coffin corner over there, it's like, all right, yeah, this is one of those games. And you just don't have your best guys against their best guys. And then when you get them in, you know, Ja, and I'll say this too, man, there's a couple things. Offensively, three things I'm worried about. Jaren is playing too well inside and showing too much of an initiative to play inside for them not to be going through him.
I could not agree more.
I mean,
on that.
As Grizzly fans, we've complained about that with Jaren for 5 years that he won't go inside. He's showing the willingness and the ability to score in the paint, and we're just not getting him going. Like it's like basketball is still simple, man. Throw it to the tallest dude who can lay it in the basket.
Especially with Steven
Adams
out.
Especially if he's willing to do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if Jaren's trying to do that, y'all need to be trying to find a way for him to score easily in the paint because he's a great free throw shooter, unlike Steven Adams. So he's going to knock those down if he gets fouled. He's going to make teams pay for fouling him. You can't get him off of the court because of things like that. National television game, he only had, I think, two, maybe three fouls in the game. Played very well against Embiid, as well as he could, all things considered. Playing against one of the greatest players, you know, in today's game. And then that bothers me how they're not using Jaren. Desmond Bane, his foot clearly is the issue. There were so many games last year where Desmond Bane hit the kill shot. He would hit the shot that either tied the game, put us up one,
yeah,
put us up four, or just put a team away. And he's just like totally missing shots that you know he would have made last year. And I'm assuming his toe is bothering him when it comes to planting. Mm-hmm. Especially like if you saw when he had to take that second shot.
The second shot.
He didn't.
He knew as soon as he let it go, it was off.
It's like you could just tell, like, that's not how he shoots the ball. So that foot is definitely an issue that probably won't be resolved until the season's over and he has surgery. And then we see what he looks like after the surgery. And then there's something just not right with John Morant right now. And I've been noticing it for a while. And I hate to say, you know, in the social media area we live in, you hate to say something when it's not time to say it or before it's actually everybody's talking about it because then it's, oh, you're a hater. And we won 9 out of 10, but like Ja hasn't looked right in a while, and I don't think it's a physical thing. I think he's distracted by stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that we've seen either you know in the news, on Twitter, whatever. But I think he has to, and I think the All-Star break ultimately helped this team because they looked good last night. I'm not gonna act like because we had that team down by 17 points in a super hostile environment against one of the better teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
But when it came down to the tight moments, the real moments. They started tightening up, and that's starting to be, you know, a constant thing, how bad they are in half-court situations, in late-game situations, in close-game situations. So I'm worried about those three things, not using Jaren correctly, what's really going on with Bane's foot, because he's not the same player. He's had games where he's, you know, looked kind of like Desmond Bane, but we're not seeing those jumbo scoring games he was having at the beginning of the season,
mm-hmm.
where he's able to go off for 30 or 40 points and just hitting crucial threes. It's like with Desmond Bane, you kind of feel like, okay, all right, it's time for him to make a shot, and he's not making those shots anymore. Like, I think he missed like five or six straight in the second half last night, and that's just not what we've grown to know Desmond Bane to be over the last couple of years. And Ja, like I said, he's playing like he's just not all the way there. And he's such a phenomenal player that his bad game could be 25-5-8 or whatever. Like, that could be a bad game for him. But he's just not looking like the force that we've seen him. He doesn't look fluid on the court at all. There was one time where you would see Ja out there playing, and everything was like, it was like he was dancing out there. Like, it was like he was out there just having fun. It's like he's working hard to do things that seemed a lot easier to him early in his career and early in the season. But I'm confident that all three of those things will figure themselves out. I'm just not confident that it'll happen this season. And then there's, of course, the things I've been talking about the entire season almost as far as wing depth and our bench play. I think Chris Harrington was on today and said, I can't remember the date he said, he was talking about how long it's been since a perimeter player has scored more than 10 points off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's just not how the NBA works. You have to have somebody who can come in and
Luke
score.
Luke can, you know, potentially do that.
Mm-hmm. I think he'll do it pretty soon when he comes back. But, yeah, it's just a staggering number. And, you know, David Roddy, God bless him. You know, I mean, he came out and had a great game last night. But he shouldn't be your best option as far as your wings. Not counting Kennard, of course, but he shouldn't be your option as far as, like, your best option as far as guys who are, like, threes. Almost on your whole roster, man. You know what I mean? Because Dylan's been so bad, bro. Like, if you switched out Dylan and Roddy, would you even notice at this point? Because they're almost an equal liability on offense. You know what I mean? And both of them are pretty good defenders. So it shouldn't be that way. David Roddy's not good enough of a player where you feel like in the whole big picture he's that important to the team. So it's just a weird season, man. And I know I probably sound down about it. But,
yeah, you sound real down.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like there's been some regression, though.
Yeah, because like I said, we're going to finish second in the West, but I think the playoffs are going to be very deflated because there are several issues.
Yep.
That there's no way to fix these things by the time
on the fly,
unless they're going to have a pseudo training camp, you know,
right.
Start all over again.
Right.
There's certain things that just they feel like they're going to be what they are. And it's going to be a fun season still because it's still an incredibly good, talented young team,
right?
But it just feels like the playoffs are going to be disappointing.
Well, one of the things I was saying earlier is that, you know, we talk about this core, Ja, Jaren, Desmond Bane, yet they've been out there, and all we talk about is mm-hmm. that Steven Adams is playing.
Right.
Like, should he be this important?
It bothers me so bad that Steven Adams is this important. Not that people are saying it like it's not true.
No, it is true. That's the problem.
That guy is this important.
Yeah.
Because people are like, well, our half-court offense sucks, but we'll get Steven Adams back. But
right.
Our half-court offense is still going to suck. He's just going to give us more opportunities to make shots. You know what I mean? So
yeah, the Grizzlies just aren't equipped. They don't have mm-hmm. they don't have the ability to just be a one-shot-and-done team mm-hmm. offensively. They don't have consistent enough shot makers right now. I mean, to me, the only confidence I have in that is Ja in the lane.
Right.
And against teams in the playoffs that are going to scheme
for that exactly. Be small.
I don't trust anybody right now mm-hmm. outside.
There were plays I was watching with Philadelphia yesterday, and this is just not guys who were homegrown guys, not guys who played together forever, but just guys who know the game, great players.
Mm-hmm.
When you had Tobias Harris, P.J. Tucker, James Harden, Embiid, just moving the ball around, finding an open guy, taking confident shots, taking smart shots. Like that sequence yesterday when Bane missed their first shot, and then those two just garbage shots they took up like it was 0.5 seconds on the clock or something. I was like, what? What game are y'all watching? Because I'm like, there's way more time left on the clock than the type of shots they're getting up. But as opposed to seeing how veterans on the other team, who mostly just got to know each other last year, P.J. Tucker just got there this offseason, but you would think that they would have worse chemistry than what we have, but they're just guys who know how to play the game, know the nuances are the game, of the game. And our age and immaturity sometimes just makes you want to pull your hair out. And like I said, and Taylor Jenkins isn't doing the best job of pulling all that together. And it seemed like there was something that he had mastered, but it seems like they're definitely regressing as far as being on the same page.
And then you get Denver.
Oh, yeah, Denver's.
Who's rolling. Jokic averaging a triple-double.
Don't remind me.
Is he the MVP again? Three times?
I didn't want you to ask me that, man.
Three times?
Now they're going to start calling me racist because about what I'm about to say. I remember back in the day they had something called voter's fatigue, and it seemed like it only applied for like really good black dudes. Next question. I'm sorry, bro. Like, I'm tired of, like, is Jokic really that good? Like, I know
oh
he's incredible.
Oh, my God, man.
But are we really about to get this dude MVP 3 times in a row? I never saw Michael Jordan do that. I never saw LeBron James do that. I never saw Kevin Durant do that. I never saw Kobe Bryant do that. We're really about to get this dude MVP 3 times in a row. And I know I grew up watching people say, oh, you can't give it to Jordan every year because it's voter's fatigue. But we're really about to give this dude MVP 3 times in a row. And he's never even been to a conference finals.
Well, it's a regular season award.
I understand it. I watched the greatest player of all time, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, never get this award 3 times in a row.
Because honestly, you could give it to LeBron every year
exactly.
if you wanted to, right?
But, like, why are we about to give this dude MVP again?
I would give it – if I was going to go that route, I would vote for Jason Tatum. I would give it to Tatum.
Why? I just watched the
league
MVP last
night. Because
you can
take him off that team, and they're still solid with Jaylen Brown and Malcolm Brogdon. Like, he's having an MVP type year.
I watched the league MVP last night.
What Jokic does for them singularly. I mean, the man is averaging a triple double, and it did start.
Well, Steven Adams should be in the conversation if that's what we're.
Right, Steven Adams, league MVP.
It started with there, nobody's going to vote for him for a third straight year, and that man has gone out and earned it. I'm not going to sit up here and say he's getting this because he's white.
There are a lot of guys that
like. The dude is averaging a triple-double. He makes everybody better.
Let me correct myself, I guess. I'm not saying that he's going to win MVP because he's white. But there's definitely an agenda and a national media agenda, which is mostly white, towards him that we did not see for black players. And y'all can get mad. Y'all can say what y'all
I'm
want
saying,
to say.
That wasn't – it may be true now, but that wasn't there at the beginning of the season.
I understand that.
Those national guys were saying he ain't
but
winning a third straight.
We're also talking about a league where
– he's pulled them over with – partly because of the numbers and maybe some.
Right. He's an incredible player. Don't get me wrong. He's definitely top 5 player in the league to me. I'm not saying he's not worthy of winning the MVP a third time in a row.
Well, yeah, but you're making it seem like there's an obvious other
candidate.
Right,
because there are agendas that are pushed for guys like him. And it's just the same reason why y'all about to get me started. I'm trying not to be this guy, but y'all about to save me here.
Tatum's averaging 39 and 5. My vote goes to Tatum.
Jokic is averaging more rebounds and more assists. Well, he's averaging a triple-double.
All I'm saying is what happened to voters fatigue, because that's why they told
me
Michael Jordan can win it every year.
We don't care anymore about triple-doubles on a nightly basis. This dude's averaging one on a team that is running away with the West. Like, I went into this season saying, too, no way you give him 3 straight MVPs. You don't do that in the NBA. He has earned it.
Jason, he's only shooting 63% from
the field. They run everything through that dude, man. Like
that's not even
like literally everything they run through.
63% from the floor is like not even. Like, don't you think it should be 65% before we start talking about like three in a row?
I'm just what you can do is make a case that there's someone way more deserving than him. That's all
I'm saying.
I'm trying to be fair here.
All I'm saying is what happened to voters fatigue.
I think there might be something to your point, right. but my point is there were people saying, no way, he's not getting a third straight.
Nobody was saying that about convinced people
with another monster year.
Nobody was saying that about Willie Harrington.
What?
Mm-hmm.
How many straight terms did he win?
I don't recall.
He's like the man for like 40 years.
I know one term I definitely won't be supporting him, so. That's the 85-year-old term.
Hey, we tried to get him on the show to talk about his campaign.
Yeah,
he said no. Like, bro.
Well, he said not at this time.
What time would be better than now?
And to those who are offended with what I said earlier, I really don't care. Y'all know that. But let's not act like that there aren't agendas that are pushed for certain guys. I watched All-Star Weekend, and I saw 3 guys with a mic. And that was Mac McClung, Luka Doncic. What's the white kid with Oklahoma City?
Oh, Giddy.
I saw Luka Doncic and Josh Giddey mic'd up in the All-Star weekend, and they act like Matt McClung was freaking Michael Jordan.
That night he was.
All right, come on, stop.
For a moment.
Relax.
For a moment in time.
Mm-hmm. Relax.
I mean, Jason couldn't believe it. Jason had shades of 96
the
out there.
The slam dunk contest has been saved. All right.
He's what?
Let's relax.
I came here the next day and said he didn't save it. It's still an impressive performance.
I mean, that was a
but
hell
if we're going to have guys who don't play in the league, we should just go get Globetrotters and Ann
Yeah, let's just bring.
And everything
it
else.
It should just be for young dudes. It should be
especially
for like.
Especially since you're not getting the best players in the NBA anyway.
Just push for your best young dudes to go do it.
So who would you vote for if not Jokic then?
I don't know. Not him.
See, that's the issue with your argument.
Yeah.
Okay, I vote for Embiid. I vote for Tatum. Embiid is better than Jokic to me, bro, because. Like I said, like in Denver, they run everything through him. He's going to put up massive numbers because he's good enough. He's good enough to put up those numbers. They run literally everything through him. He's going to put up crazy numbers. But I'm not going to say he's the best player in the league, especially not 3 years in a row. Just not going to say that.
No, he's the most valuable player to his team, though.
That's never been what that award fully means. Cause like we said, we'd be talking about Steven Adams should be MVP.
No.
Because we're clearly not the best team.
No, because we just said this team shouldn't be so sorry without Steven Adams.
That's what I'm saying. So that means he does have value, though.
He definitely has value, clearly a lot.
Y'all get mad if you want to, but I'm triggered.
I'm definitely triggered.
That's okay, too. If Jokic was black, he would not be talking about three-time MVP.
If he was averaging the same numbers,
we would not be talking about three-time MVP. The fact that Joel Embiid wasn't even voted as a starter in the All-Star game. Come on, man. Did we see...
That was ridiculous.
Did we see Bill Simmons' All-Star list? Like a guy's his All-Star?
Who is it, like Sam Hauser?
It was all white dudes in SGA.
Well, you know, Jokic is like Eastern European.
Okay, he's white.
Ish.
Come on, man. This motherland white. What are you talking about?
It's different, though.
That's OG white.
It don't hit the same, man. You know what I'm saying? It don't hit the same. I don't know. I think it has less to do with him being white as it does, like, these voters in the NBA are, like, nerdy, and they live
for the... And they're also white dudes.
They are, but they live for the advanced metrics.
Mm.
You know, and look, the dude is shooting 63% from the floor.
He's cold. I'm not going to act like he ain't cold. He's a nightmare, and he's going to kill us when we play him.
The best point you made.
Constantly giving them MVP, and he can't advance in the playoffs.
The best point you made was the one on, like, Michael Jordan never won three in a row. Like, I mean, that seems kind of wild. Like, what the hell was going on there?
Steve Nash is better than Kobe, too, right?
Well, no. That's
what I'm saying, man. Like, that's the era I grew up in.
But that award gets, like, ridiculed, right? I mean, people ridicule that that two-time – the fact that Steve Nash is a two-time MVP, like, people ridicule that.
Yeah.
You know. I don't think people will ridicule Jokic for being a three-time
MVP. I just asked
MVP.
The question, what happened to voter fatigue? Because I ain't seeing it.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
For a dude who can't get past the second
round. He's also first in the West.
I mean, forget what the season he's having.
You think they're coming out, did you? You think Denver's coming out?
Well, no, but I mean, I think that's the issue is it's a regular season award. And so they're just going to – if he finishes as the – I mean, should it be a regular season award? I don't think so. I think maybe we should, you know, consider factor in playoff performance, but – because if we did that, Tatum would be the answer for me. But where we don't, you know, the voting ends in at the end of April. So, I mean, it is compelling. I mean, I know it's not fun. It's not fun to, like, give it to the same dude 3 years in a row. But
what's the off-season move?
For the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
They're going to do something.
Especially if it follows a disappointing playoffs to go with your scenario.
I think they're going to do something big. We saw that they were trying to move, like, a lot of draft picks, you know what I mean, at the deadline. There were several reports that they were willing to trade a lot of draft picks for at least three guys we heard them connected to. So I think they're definitely – I think with that being out there, teams know that with the Grizzlies, we can get multiple draft picks. And I think that another thing, too, if that Warriors pick was in place – and the Warriors look done this year, that pick, you know, gets a lot more valuable than it would have been maybe, you know, a month ago at the trade deadline. So I think it's going to be an exciting offseason. You still have to see what they're going to do with Dylan Brooks. That's the thing.
You're going out making a major move. You're not bringing Dylan Brooks back.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Like, that's included. Like, if you don't bring Dylan Brooks back, that's a big move. Like, if you don't bring him back, you're taking a humongous risk because there's nobody close to him. That there's nobody like, well, we could just start Roddy or we could just start Zaire. Like, we're not there yet.
Right.
So if you don't bring Dylan back, you're putting a lot into this offseason is even that much more, you know, huge, you know, if you don't bring him back or whatever.
Well, at some point, you got to push chips in. You can't keep drafting guys. You got to use these picks.
Well, you can't, like, to me, that's the last.
You got too many young guys on the roster
as
it is.
And too many, as you would say, too many slaw young dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Jake Aravius and.
Right, I mean, he catches a stray every damn Friday around 11:30, doesn't he? I mean,
you need it, man.
Are you contractually obligated to give him one every Friday?
If y'all keep voting Jokic in, I'm just going to keep taking it out on guys like
Roddy's been the best rookie, but you're absolutely right that he shouldn't be in this position now.
Uh-uh.
That's a sign of how, you know, how
he should have been playing.
He should have been playing
that many minutes and doing that much.
I like him though.
Oh yeah, he's clearly the best.
I like
dude.
The way he plays.
It does feel a little bit like the Grizz front office started like sniffing their own supply. A little bit. Like,
and that mess is not looking good for them this year, man.
They kind of got carried away.
The we don't miss thing is a lie, because you look at Zaire and like you traded up to go get Jake LaRavia and he's like. You know, most guys just wear whatever shoes they wear with the Grizzlies. He's got red shoes now. Like, oh, look at you. You're just a hustle guy, aren't you?
Damn, he got those red boots. those like balloon
boots.
Nah,
he might as well have them on. Anyway.
That should be his brand. He should just go get those big balloon Balenciaga boots and just be like the Hustle brand ambassador.
Oh, man.
Did you see Bronny's up to 10 in the latest mock draft of 2024?
I'll say
your
this.
Thoughts?
I think there are people who are really on one wrong side of this who are really underplaying how good Bronny is. Like, Bronny's really gotten better than the kid he was a few years ago.
Yes.
Like, he could be a very good.
His IQ's through the roof. Yeah. He's a great defender.
He's the son of one of the greatest players of all time. And LeBron James is his biological father, unlike Michael Jordan's sons.
Man, stop.
So, he's got that in his favor. He actually does have the DNA of a legend in LeBron James and not Horace Grant. But I don't think he's top 10 good. Like, I don't know. As y'all know, I'm not a college basketball guy. I don't give a damn.
Is that about?
But I don't think he's top 10 good, but I think he's a first rounder.
Well, is that about LeBron?
See, I'm glad you went my way. See, his conspiracy theory,
I think it's a LeBron tax.
Nobody's going to burn a lottery pick for some kid just because he's LeBron's kid.
Well, we burned a lottery pick on Zaire Williams.
Yes, that is true. At the same number, huh?
10. Yeah. I mean, at least.
Because he played. I think maybe Bronny made Zaire look good.
Well, I'm saying, like, at least Bronny will put asses in seats because dad's coming.
Dad's coming.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a bad calculation for, like, a struggling franchise.
Maybe Bronny might be a lot better than we think. He might have made Zaire Williams look good.
I mean, he could be. It's possible.
Y'all love writing folks off.
Who?
Y'all wrote off Geno Smith. I bet you wrote off Geno Smith. You were one of them.
Look at dudes.
Y'all write folks off.
Zaire might be good.
I know you wrote Santi off. I know you wrote him off.
I just said I don't know. I said he looks terrible.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though. That's the problem. I ain't right back. Let's go.
Zaire writing back from South Haven. That joint got a South Haven stamp on it.
They said he can't even hit shots down there this year.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, remember, though, he's just 21.
Bro, I look at dude's mentality, bro. Like, exactly. if you're like...
He averaged 8 against Golden State in the playoffs.
Like David Wright.
Like we ain't never seen that. Makes sense. That means he averaged 8.
Like David
Wright. In the role that he was in, Johnny averaged 8.
They rolled me off. I ain't right back, though.
No. You can't say nothing to that. As a rookie, he averaged 8 against Golden State.
You know how much?
He's regressed. At the back of the rotation.
You know how much, like, pumping, priming, and hyping up they had to do to get that dude to not be terrible last year? Like, they had to hypnotize that kid and everything, man. Like, come on, man.
His shots.
I like dudes who are like mentally ready
sorry,
for what they're doing, man.
But y'all love writing them off.
I don't see it in Zaire anymore. I'm sorry.
Like, he doesn't have any game off the dribble. He really, only thing he does well is run the floor. I mean, that's the only thing I've seen him do well.
He gets in position to make shots.
Right, but he doesn't make them.
He don't make the shots.
I mean, that's the problem.
It's a confidence issue at this point.
That's what I'm saying, bro. We ain't got no time for that.
You got to start fresh.
That's real NBA, man. Be confident.
That's exactly right.
That's an NBA skill. Confidence is an NBA skill.
It's his second season. Yeah. Right?
This is year two of a 21-year-old. You talking about you ain't got time on like you ready to win a championship right now. That's crazy.
But they got a decision to make on him.
Y'all act like
this is always still a development year.
But y'all act like it ain't young dudes who hooping, though, man. Like, we're not babysitting kids, bro. Like, this is the NBA.
I understand that. It's a good chance it's a bust.
And there are a lot of dudes who are, like, picked after him that are fine.
They have earned the benefit of the
doubt. That we don't have to hypnotize and, like, send the hustle games to get your confidence
up. Man, half the roster would be gone.
3 months. And I don't know, man.
Like, if you were running.
Maybe he's just not good.
Like, the Thunder drafted Jalen Williams last year.
And he's good.
That dude's awesome.
Like,
at 12.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Like, we don't have to babysit dudes. And either you're ready for the NBA or you're not. Like, either you're confident enough to be good. Like, that's why I said I see something in Roddy. Because at least he's got confidence. He's a guy who's been an alpha everywhere he's been. And he's even in small schools. And he's adjusting to the NBA game. But he's got confidence. He's not like a dude who's, like, mentally weak like Zaire.
How old is Roddy?
Zaire ain't much younger than him. Zaire is not as young as y'all think he is. He's not 19. He came into the league at, like, 20, 21. 21. So... I don't know, man.
Like, if you look
at... He hadn't played a lot of basketball.
If you look at the top 10...
Maybe he's just not good. We're ruling out that he could just not
be that.
If you look at the top 10, he's one of the few that's actually not
panning out.
Yeah. Like, Cade, we know, Jalen Green, Mobley, Scotty Barnes, Giddy, Kuminga. I'll even give you Wagner in Orlando.
You're giving me him? That dude's a beast.
Yeah. So the only 70% of the top 10, I would say, is a hit. Suggs, probably not.
No.
Davion Mitchell, probably not.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.